nickname for me. Her nickname for me was Dominie. Say, Dominie, do your church believe in that God still heals today? I said, Tani, if that's in the Bible, then it must be true. She said, yes, it is in the Bible. And, you know, we had conversations like that, and she would challenge me on deliverance. She would say, Dominie, do your church believe in deliverance? I said, Tani, I don't know, but if it's in the Bible, it must be true. She said, yes, it is in the Bible. So, guys, there's many stuff in the Bible, you know, that's true. God has so much for us. And tonight I want to speak of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God has more for you. Say to somebody, turn to somebody next to you and say, God has more for you. And every day, He has more for us. So Jesus, in John chapter 7, he was at Easter, Passover. Okay, sorry, let me get it right. It was Passover. Jesus was at the temple, and the word of God says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Cry is such a passionate word. He cried out, and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus starts, you know what, when he's crying out, he starts, and he says, if you're lacking something. You know what, there was a day in my life that I know God has so much more for me, and I was lacking. You know, this thing about to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be, you know, some people say to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I knew there was a lack in my life. Gershwin, I knew God had so much more for me, you know, and it was like I was scratching, you know. I knew Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, you know what, there must be this thirst for the more that God has for you. And God has so much more for each one of His children. So Jesus starts with the lack. If everyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And guys, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things, any that we need to be humble. You know, if you are full of yourself and you think you are this big shot, you know, you won't be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus worked where people are humble. You remember Matthew 10, he says, if you are tired and weary, he says, come to me and learn from me, because I'm lowly of mind, is that right? Lowly of heart, and I am humble. So guys, we need to bow our knee before Him. We need to say, God, I need more of You. And that's where He starts. And you know, if you want the more that God has for you, you must come to the right person. He says, come to me. We must come to Jesus. Jesus, you know what? The river of life starts with Him. Jesus says, come to me and drink. We must come to Him. We must say, Jesus, we know that You have so much more. You know, that time, you know, this people, they were in the AFM church, and I think, you know, they are a sect, you know. They don't know, you know, how can they know all this stuff? And but I was in the traditional church, so I went to my church bookshop, and I went to see what do they have, you know, on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What books do they have on the Holy Spirit? And there was a classic writer. Is that the right way to say? You know, a classic writer with the name of Dr. Andrew Murray. You know what? Dr. Andrew Murray, there's a statue of him in Wellington before that church. And I bought two books of this man. The one book was The Holy Spirit. So it was like a thick book. And the other one was The Full Blessing of Pentecost. Man, and I started to read those books of Dr. Andrew Murray. And when I read these books of Dr. Andrew Murray, it was like, you know, but this was the same what this mom and daughter was telling me, you know, about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the more I read, you know, the more I could say, hey, there's something. The joy that they have, it genuinely is the Holy Spirit. So I was reading Dr. Andrew Murray, because long ago that revival, you know, don't know where the revival started, if it was in Worcester or in Wellington, but there was revival here. And people was being filled with the Holy Spirit. People came to Jesus. You know what? And there was life, there was strength, there was joy in their lives. And afterwards, you know, that's where one of our churches get every time between Ascension Day and the day of Pentecost, they have Pentecostal prayer meetings. Say, hey, we're going to pray. And you know, those days, they prayed so that people could be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, Jesus, I'm coming back to John chapter 7. Let's just take another route. Jesus came to, in Samaria, he came to a well. He and his disciples was taking shortcut. And you know, guys, if you take shortcuts, you can expect something to happen. Have you ever seen a movie that they take shortcuts and they get into trouble? You know, sometimes in these movies, you know, where they take shortcuts, gross things happen. You know, but if you take shortcuts, something is going to happen. Jesus and his disciples was taking shortcut through Samaria, you know, and the Jews and this, how do you say it in English? The guys that live in Samaria? Samaritans, thank you so much. You know what? They, you know, this was like a racist thing. You know, the Jews don't talk to the Samaritans. You know, the Samaritans were like, you know, they were a second class people, you know. So there was a lot of racism there. And Jesus stopped at the well. He sent his disciples to KFC to get some, you know, something to eat. They were gone, and there was Jesus sitting, and there was a woman coming to collect some water at the well. You know, and Jesus said, would you give me, you know, a cup of water? And this woman was like, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You know, this was like, you know, it wasn't ordinary. But Jesus is not ordinary. And you know, she couldn't understand it. And then Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So Jesus is turning the tables. He says, you know what? I can give you living water. I'm asking you for a cup of water. And interesting, Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, if you give a prophet a cup of water, you will receive the reward of a prophet. You know, it's very interesting that when Elijah the prophet, when he went to Zarephath, and there was also, you know, a lady, a widow, and he asked this widow, would you go and fetch me a cup of water? And this lady, she was at a bad place. You know what? There was famine in the land. She had no more food left. There was only a little bit of oil, just a little bit, a bit of flour. And she said, you know what? I'm going to take the flour. I'm going to take the oil. I'm going to make a little bread for me and my son. We're going to eat it. That will be our last little bit of bread. And then we're going to die. And as this lady, the prophet said, bring me a cup of water. And as she leaves to go, you know, to fetch the cup of water, he said to her, he said, you know what? God says, bring me a little bit of bread as well. For God says, you know what? The flour won't get any less. And the oil won't get any less. Until it will rain again in the land. So God gave her a promise. And you know what this lady did? She went. And she prepared the meal and she brought for the prophet first. And God blessed her. You know what? Because the widow and her child and the prophet ate for many days of that flour. And they ate for many days of that oil because God said it won't become less. So guys, we need to run with God. We need to run with the promises of God. He said, if you knew the gift of God, God wants to fill his children with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, you know what? The Holy Spirit fills us. You know, God sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Let me just say that. God, God sent the Holy Spirit to help us, and we are in desperate need of the help of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and you knew who says to you, give me a drink, you'd have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, back to John chapter 7. So Jesus is at the feast. He's crying out. He's making a statement. He said, if you thirst, come to me. And then he says in verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, some of the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to experience the life of the Holy Spirit, we need to believe in Jesus. We need childlike faith. We need to trust God. You know what? These people from the AFM, you know, they discipled me and they taught me many things about God and things that I didn't knew. And then one day they said, Dominee, you know what? Pastor Reinhard Bonke, he's at our church this Sunday. And you must come. And you know what? He's going to pray for you to receive, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, and that was, you know, Pastor Reinhard started his ministry in Lesotho, Christ for All Nations. And they said, but you must come, you know. And you know, I was like, oh, okay, going to this, you know, this church. And, you know, it was, okay, I'll try, I'll do it, you know. I don't know what the people is going to say if I go to that church. But I was there because I was hungry for God. I was thirsty for God. I knew God had so much more. And I went there that day. And you know what? And, you know, Pastor Reinhard, he was laying his hand on people in front of me. You know, I was sitting there somewhere where you are. And he was praying for this person, you know. And it was like a fountain, man. He just laid his hands on that person, and that person just went off speaking in tongues. And I was, oh, that's great, man. That's so great. And then he came to me, and he laid his hands on me. And guess what? Nothing happened. I was like, no, it can't be. It can't be. And we went home off the church, and then that Tani said, Dominee, your verstand is in the pot. Because I thought I had it in my mind how it's going to happen, how I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, no, you can't receive it with your mind. You cannot receive it with your verstand. You must trust God. You must put your trust in God. And that's what Jesus said. He who believes in me, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need childlike faith. That's what we need. He who believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. What will flow out of your belly? Rivers. Rivers of joy. Rivers of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Guys, faith in Jesus is the key to Holy Spirit life. You know what? Jesus, he was on earth, and then one day in Acts chapter 1, he went back to the Father. And he said to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come over you, and you will be my witnesses. He said, you will tell about me. You will witness what I do in your life. He said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So, and this scripture also says, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. If we glorify Jesus, we will see more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, John chapter 16, Jesus in John chapter 16, actually from John chapter 14, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about the comforter that will come. And that word comforter in Greek, it's parakletos. Parakletos in Greek, actually para means next to you or you know, yeah, next to you. And kletos kaleo means to call. So the Holy Spirit is called to be next to us. And De Al Moody, he says, actually, the Holy Spirit is much more of an advocate. You know what? If you're in trouble, you need somebody that can talk very good. And you know what? Advocates, they can present your case, man, very fluently and in a very, very good way. So the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Okay? The Parakletos, the Comforter, is there to help us. And then Jesus said in John chapter 16, he says, the Holy Spirit will glorify you. Guys, a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that glorifies Jesus. A life that's filled with the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. A church that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a church that glorifies Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. Jesus paid the price. It's not about me being a big shot. It's not about you being a big shot. No, it's about Jesus. Jesus paid the price. He gave everything. You know what? When he died, his last words were, tetelestai. And tetelestai means it is finished. He paid the price. He gave his everything. And you and I, you know what? Our lives is to glorify him. Our lives is to glorify him. And how can we glorify him? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Guys, if we go to the book of Acts, okay? You remember the book of Acts? Acts of the Apostles. If you go there to Acts, what do we see? We see a church that glorifies Jesus. A church, you know, that is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. There was something like a wind. There was something like tongues of fire. And these people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, there were signs. They spoke in other tongues. Are you still with me? And then this guy, Peter walked on water. You still remember that guy? When they arrested Jesus, he took out his sword. And, you know, the one who arrested Jesus, he chopped off his ear. Jesus, wow, we're not going to do like that. So he took his ear, put it back, healed him. Said, okay, let's continue with this story. That's Jesus. He had compassion on the guy who arrested him. Filled with the Holy Spirit. So, So this Peter, he got up on the day of Pentecost. The guy who help me, Ferrari, Jesus, Verloon. Betrayed, is that the right word? Okay, Jesus verloren. You know what? There was this, you know, servant that said, oh, you are one of them. Why? Because he spoke differently. When you are with Jesus, you know, you change. And he said, you are one of him. And he was like disgusted. You know, he didn't want to be identified as a disciple of Jesus. And what he did, he cursed, you know, roar, no, I'm not with him. And Jesus said to him, he said, if the cock crows, you will have denied me. That's the right word. You would have denied me three times. But you know, God is in the restoration business. Amen. Praise God. You know, God restores you. When you sin, when you go on the wrong road, you know, so many times there's stuff here in our heart, you know. You know, like this morning, last night I prepared a sermon for this morning. And I said, this thing is not going to work. You know, and then when I went to bed, I just sensed, okay, this is what needs to happen. This morning I was up early and I, because there was too much of what I wanted to say. And I changed it so that God can have the glory. You know, sometimes the Bible says, why do we sin? We sin. Because there's desires in our hearts. Selfish desires that lead us astray. And then we get into trouble. Nobody's saying amen. There's people in this church that are holy, man. You know? So Peter who denied him. So Jesus is in the business of restoration. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he preached and he said, guys, what is happening here? This guy is not drunk. You know, it's not the buoying go have gone over. No. He said, you know what? These people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said about Joel. Joel said that in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And you sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. So when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is with signs. You know what? God gives signs when his people are filled with the Holy Spirit. So this was a church that was filled with the Holy Spirit. They told about Jesus. They witnessed about Jesus. They did miracles in the name of Jesus. And they were persecuted because of the name of Jesus. They weren't afraid. You know, they were so different. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Paul wrote to this young man, Timothy. Any young people here? I'm young. Wonderful. I said, yes. And everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Guys, if you want to live a godly life, if you want to live for Jesus, we will be persecuted. We will suffer persecution. But we can know that God is faithful. He will help you. A sure sign that we are in the center of God's will. That's persecution. It's a sure sign that God is using you. Persecution is a sure sign you are damaging the kingdom of darkness. Are you still with me? Don't get persecuted because you're stupid. Don't get persecuted because you're doing lawlessness. Are you still with me? Guys, but God says if we live for him, if we live a godly life, we will be persecuted. Okay, so in Acts chapter 2, the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Those people, they spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues that other people could understand. And the other people said, we hear you talk about the wonderful things of God. And so on that day, 3,000 people decided to give Jesus a chance in their lives. They decided to become disciples of Jesus Christ. They said, you know, Peter gave this sermon. The word of God says they were cut to their hearts. You know what? The word went into their hearts. The word made an appeal on their hearts. And they said, what must we do to get saved? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Change your mind. Give Jesus a chance. Be baptized in water. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see that this people, they were, you know, this new church, they were a praying church. They prayed for 10 days before the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then we see in chapter 3, Peter and John, they were going to the temple because there was a prayer meeting at the temple. And then when they were walking towards the temple, there was a lame man. And this lame man, he was begging, you know, he was hoping to receive something from Peter and John. And they were looking at him. And maybe I can continue with that story a little bit later on. But you know what? Peter and John were going to the prayer meeting. They were men of prayer. We see all over the book of Acts that when God's people pray, stuff starts to happen. God starts working. You know what? Let me get my things here together. When Peter prayed, I think it is in Acts chapter 10. You know what? Because God wanted him to speak to the heathen people. You know, and that was not allowed according to Old Testament law. And then he went to pray. 12 o'clock at noon, he went to pray. And then he had this vision of a lock, a sheet coming out of heaven, and God convinced him, you know what, that there's no difference between unclean and clean. He can go and speak the word to the heathen. He can go and share the gospel to the heathen people. And then Paul, chapter 9 of Acts, you know what, he was going to Damascus. He was on this donkey, and then he fell off the donkey. Why? Because God appeared to him. It was like sunlight shining. And then God spoke to him. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And they put him back on the donkey. He couldn't see. He was blind. You know what? But you know, something happened in Paul's life. He made a commitment to Jesus. And then he went to a house, and then God spoke to this disciple with the name of Ananias. And God said, "Ananias, I want you to go and pray for this man, Paul." And he said, "Wow, Paul, that guy is persecuting the church. That guy is persecuting the disciples of Jesus. He's persecuting the followers of Jesus." God says, "Yeah, I know, but he's changed now. I want you to go there. I want you to pray that he can see again. And I want you to pray for him that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And Ananias, he went and he prayed for Paul. The Bible says, and there was stuff falling off his eyes. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I think sometimes we need stuff needs to fall. I'd say skelet van sy oor afgeval. And sometimes I think we've got skelet op ons oor. And we must pray, "God, remove the skelet from my oor af, that I can see what you're doing, that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul and Barnabas, Acts chapter 13, they were in this church in Antioch. And these leaders, they were fasting, they were praying, they were seeking God. They wanted to do God's will. And you know what happened? God spoke to them. God said, "You know, Paul and Barnabas, they must go to the nations. They must go and preach the gospel to the nations. Please, put your hands on them and send them." And the Bible says they prayed for them and they sent them out so that they could preach the gospel to the nations. Guys, things happened. Things happened in the book of Acts when people pray. We must become a praying church. We must become praying Christians, because God works where people pray. Prayer, I wrote here, prayer must become our spiritual breathing. Are you still with me? Prayer is like, it gives you life. In the other day, God gave me this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, "Rejoice." When must we rejoice? Always. Say with me, always. God is speaking to Christians. He says, "Rejoice always." You know what? We like to rejoice when the Springboks win. You like to rejoice when we receive an extra bonus. We like to receive if life is well. We like to rejoice when life is going well. But God wants us to rejoice when? Always. You know what? Even if the circumstances turn around you, if your purse is flat, there's no more money in your bank account, and there's still a lot of month left, God wants us to rejoice always. Pray, help me, without ceasing. He says, pray without ceasing. You know what? Prayer gives us life. Guys, it's like awesome all of breathing. It's like breathing. You know what? God, thank you that you're helping me. Thank you that you're here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are guiding me. Thank you that you are this awesome God. Thank you that you know stuff that I don't know. Are you still with me? God knows stuff that I don't know. He knows tomorrow. He knows everything. And we can go to him and he will give us guidance. And then he says, "Give thanks in everything." Hey, man. You know what? I believe God wants us to live this life. He says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." So I said to you in Acts chapter 3, Peter and Paul, they were going to the temple. It was the hour of prayer. There was this beggar. This beggar was looking them in the eyes. They thought, you know, maybe, you know, they're going to, maybe there's a 10 rand coming. Maybe there's a 20 rand coming. And they said, you know, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have. Are you with me? Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. You know what? They gave what they have. They had a fullness, a capacity of Jesus Christ on the inside, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? This man was getting up. He was jumping around. I don't know for how long he has been lame, but he was jumping around. He was so glad, you know. And Peter and John said, come, we're going to pray at the temple. And he went with them. And, you know, there was pandemonium in the temple. You know what? It was a prayer meeting. But they couldn't pray because this man was telling everyone, you know, look here, I was lame, but I'm walking now. And everybody knows that this man, he was the beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple. So there was pandemonium. He said, Jesus healed me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there was joy in the temple. And then the temple police was like, what's going on here? You know, and they arrested him and John and Peter, and they took them to the Sanhedrin. That's the big Jewish council, you know, and they took them to the elders. And you know what? Because they said, okay, you know, we must keep these people quiet. Are you still with me? The devil wants us to be quiet. Jesus said, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. You will talk, man. You will tell other people what I'm doing in your life. But these guys, they didn't want them to tell. Verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. The enemy wants to quiet you. The enemy don't want you to be a voice for Jesus. Are you guys still with me? The enemy wants to quiet us. And you and I need to be a voice for Jesus. The enemy wants to silence you. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Man, these guys, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had such a boldness. I wrote here, a sure sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is an uncanny boldness. They said, we can't keep quiet. We need to talk about the things that we have seen and heard. It's like the Psalms that's saying, you know what, sing a new song to the Lord. Guys, we can only sing a new song if we have fresh experiences with God daily. Are you still with me? Okay, fresh experiences. The Holy Spirit make your walk with Jesus fresh. A first-hand experience with Jesus is so much more than dead and dry dogmatic arguments. We need a fresh experience with Him. We need to tell. You know what? We need to say, you know what? God did this miracle for me. You know what? I prayed. God answered my prayer. I was so worried. I went to God. I said, God, I worry. And you know what? God gave me this psalm that says, you know what? Like the other day, God gave me Psalm 34 that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. You know what? When we put our trust in God, God helps us. Oh, and I've seen so many times in my life, when you go on an outreach, God changes your life. Can iemand amen say? Seen so much, you know, when you go on a let's go mission, you come back, you're a changed person. Because when we are obedient, when we go, Jesus said, go into all the world. When we go, God works miracles in our lives. Acts chapter 4, okay, I must come down for the landing. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. So they went to their companions. They were accountable to the other guys. They said, you know what? We went to this prayer meeting. God healed this lame man, and now we are in trouble. You know, sometimes you think you do something good. Are you still with me? And then you find out that you are in trouble because the world don't love Jesus. The world hate Jesus. That's why Jesus said they will hate us as well. And you know what they did? They started to pray. They started to pray. They said, now, it's prayer meeting, just now. And they started, they said, and they raised their voice to God with one accord. You know what? Everyone, they prayed loud. They said, God, we need you. When they had trouble, the answer was prayer. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Guys, the world hate Jesus because he came to save the world. The war is against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The closer you live to Jesus, the more you will experience the heat of the world. Are you still with me? The world hate Jesus. Verse 29, he says, now, Lord, look on their threats. Oh, how do we act when people, you know, threaten us? Do we keep quiet? God, please save us from these people. Take them away. Take me away. Protect me. What did they pray? He said, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They said, God, give us the grace that we will speak your word with all boldness. You know what? Don't keep quiet. They said, God, don't silence us. Give us grace to speak with boldness your word. Their prayer for boldness is their answer to the threats of the high priest and the elders. And you know, that last sentence said that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They said, in my words, God, show us that you are real by doing signs and wonders. You know what? Sometimes we need a little bit of persecution. Sometimes it's like, you know, persecution brings out something of the fire and the zeal of God in us. Verse 31, I want to end off with verse 31. And when they had prayed, what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It must be something special, you know. You pray together, and then suddenly when you finish praying, you know, say, okay, let's get some coffee. Then this place shake. And the word said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know what? God answered their prayer. You know, he gave them a supernatural sign. This place, this building, you know, was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's the main thing, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with his power. To be filled with his strength. And it says they spoke the word with boldness. We need to speak his word with boldness. We need to witness with boldness. We need to tell others what God did in our life. Can we pray together? Can we stand? And let's just pray together. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that there is a life of abundance. Thank you that there is a life of being filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have more for us, God. Thank you that you have more than God has to live a dry life, a dry spiritual life, a mechanical spiritual life, or a religious life. Thank you that you have more for us, God. But to receive the more, the abundance that you have for us, God, you ask us to be humble. You ask to confess that we lack that fullness. You said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And Father God, thank you that you draw us unto you. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God. Oh, we just thank you, God. I just feel that if you say, God, I want more of your Spirit, I want more of that fullness that you have promised. I just sense that if that's you, maybe we can just come to the front and then we're going to pray with you. Anyone that says, I want more? Anyone here? There's someone. Yes, we're going to pray with you. God's just gonna work in your heart. It's not us, it is Jesus. Maybe you just need a fresh touch from God. That you have so much more for us, God. And thank you that you want to save us from dry religion, God. Thank you that you want to fill us with your Spirit. Thank you that you want to give us more, God. You want to stir the river on the inside. That we can experience your fullness, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Shabbat. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Going to pray for these people, and then I just want to ask you that are in the chairs, won't you just turn to one another and just say, hey man, what can I pray for you? Let's just help each other. Let's just share what's our challenge. Maybe we've got a challenge for this week. Maybe we need some more faith. I don't know what you need, but let's just ask each other, hey, what can I pray for you? Let's trust God. Can we do that? Is that okay with you guys? Okay, let's do that.